Zaimar Cheshvan, Sunday the 13th of October, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin, Standing the Test of Time. This week's Start Your Day in the Torah Way has been sponsored by Lili Nishmas, Rav David Shmuel ben Rav Moshe Zichrona Levocha.
The mind of always speaking on a Sunday morning is that you've got multiple parashas to choose from. You can always say, we just learned parashas Lech Lecha, next week's parashas Vayera. But the reality is that, without that anyway, undoubtedly we are in the throes of the Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu. He's right in the middle of all of his tests. Of course, the end of parashas Vayera is perhaps the culmination. The Akedah, yesterday we began with Lech Lecha. But the truth is that it all began long before Lech Lecha, long before we discover Avraham Avinu at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, arguably maybe right to the end of Parshas Noach. But really, Avraham bursts onto the scene at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. But if we look in Chazal, and we look in the Rishonim, particularly the Rambam, we discover that by this point Avraham Avinu is 75 years old. Right? He's older than all of us. Right, so that's already sort of well on the road, right, of life. So, but I'm trying. Yeah. So Al Kaponim, the reality is that this is in any person's standards, even if you live to 180 or 175, in his case in particular, but 180 was the official's man of the office. The reality is that this was, he was well on the road by this point. So we have to look into Chazal and into the Rishonim to find what happened beforehand. So without spending much time, just to pluck some of the ideas out of the Rambam, right at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it's well known the way the Rambam describes Avraham's formative years. There were what he calls Yemei Enosh. That entire generation was the time of Enosh, and Tohu's Gedola. They made a huge mistake. It began by attributing certain energies and powers to the celestial bodies. Right, that's how it began. They came with the theory that these bodies were merely agents of the Almighty on some level, and therefore it would be appropriate to give them covet, just like a king expects you to honor his guard and honor his servants. But over the course of time, the Meshech Hazman, they started to build Heichalos, and they started to be Makriv Korbonos, and then slowly but surely, sort of the God factor, right, what was removed from the equation. It became all about these forces and nothing about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this ultimately became the ultimate Avodah Zarah. So what did he do about it? Along comes Avraham Avinu, and he stands completely on his own. And the Rambam does make mention of the fact that prior to Avraham, of course, there were some other great people. There was Chanoch, there was Mesushelach, there was Noach, there was Shem and Eva. But he was the only one who stepped forward and became what he calls the Amudoi Shel Olam. He became the foundation of the world, because in his own mind, he was trying to work out what on earth was going on. He walked around and he looked up at the sky, and luckily he wasn't here, because he could actually see the sky. Right, so he walked around and he saw this phenomenal cosmos, right, that was operating in this remarkably organized fashion. And he asked at the beginning, he asked many questions, even whilst he was serving Avodah Zarah with his parents. It became like a whole family, it's family traditions. It's Aviv v'Imoy Chalom, Ovdam Avodah Zarah, v'hu hoya Ovid Imohen. He was also serving Avodah Zarah. Not such a chiddush. The truth is, we say this on Seydenai, Metchila Oda Avodah Zarah Avisenu. That includes Avraham Avinu, Zoshen Rama. But he was never happy. And so he kept asking questions, and he kept demanding to know answers. Ad shehisig derech ha'emes, until he found the true path. Ve'hevin kav ha'tzedek midatoi ha'nechoina, applying his straightforward logic, he was able to find the kav ha'tzedek, the line of truth. And then Veyeda Shiyesh Shom Eloika Echod. And that's when he knew that there was one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But who manhig HaGalgal? And he was the one who was controlling the whole apparatus. Ve'ein b'chol ha'nimtso Eloika chutz mimenu. And there was no other God but him. The Rambam arrives at that conclusion. And again, Veyeda Shekol Ha'om Toyim. And again, he knew that the whole world was making a mistake. Sorry? What's the Mich Gazot?
The Rambam.
Avraham Avinu. The Rambam says about Avraham Avinu. And again in the next line, the Rambam says again, Kivin Shehikir Veyeda. Once he recognized or once he knew. So the Rambam, I think specifically, is applying the expression of Yediyah. Right, that the Rambam knew that there was a Rabbi Yishloim. I'm tired, 2 o'clock. I should have gone to bed earlier. The Rambam said that Avraham Avinu knew that there was a Rabbi Yishloim. Yeda! Avraham Avinu, Yeda Sheshem Eleka. Avraham Avinu, Yeda Shekol Om Toim. And again, Kim Shehike Veyeda, that he recognizes. Okay, the Rambam says, Ben Avraham Shono, Hika Avraham is Boira, that Avraham recognized him at the age of 40. But what happened once he knew? Once he had this idea?
Age of 3.
No, Shen Ramam Avraham, Arboim Shona. Arboim Shona, Ben Arboim Shona, he was 40 years old. 40 years old. That's when he arrived. The Chiddush is that it wasn't until much later that Kodesh Baruch actually sort of kivayochel tapped him on the shoulder and said, Yo, and Achanam miskarech. But all this time, he was still working it out. But the vote is that he was coming to a idea and he was coming to a hakor. What happened once Avraham Avinu arrived at this clear Yidin, clear Hakorah? So, at this point he started to engage in conversation with the other people who were living in his town. So the Bnei Ur cast him. And he said to them that you're wrong. She'ein zu derech ha'emes sh'atim ho'ilchim bo, you're on the wrong path. Right? And Avraham Avinu is completely all on his own. He's on one side of the world, that's what it's called. Avraham Ho'ivri, Meloshim Me'eveh, he stands on one side and the entire world is standing on the other side, and he says, I've got the MS and you don't have the MS. And ultimately, Avraham Avinu started to work on the people more locally, and then he spread to the wider world. And then, as the Rambam puts it, Shoyam Miskabtsim Lo Vishon Le'al Devarav, they started questioning him, and so on and so forth. The question that all the Meforshim ask is that this is Gevaldik. This is Moreh Dekareid. Avraham Avinu's formative years, his early years, and all of these philosophical discussions. Right? Ki yodu ashted in Medrash, that Avraham Avinu had a Meseches Avodah Zarah, had his own Gemara, in which how many Parokim were there?
400.
400 Pirkei Avodah Zarah, that Avraham Avinu, right, in which he debated and philosophized and theorized and argued with all the people of his time, right? Fregnam approaches, well, where are they? I'd like to have those. Before nowadays, people are struggling with their emunah. Vosadev Shatz, that starts, Bayom Hashem al Avraham, lech lecho me'atzecha. That's the beginning of Avraham Avinu's life. Halavai, we would have, you know, a whole parsha in the Torah between Noach, between the end of Parshas Noach, and the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, we should have a whole parsha of all the great debates, and how Avraham Avinu arrived at these ultimate conclusions, and how he managed to convince the world that he was right, and they were wrong, Shiesh Shama Loika Echot, Asidari Boni Shloilom, and Uneh Filt Develt. It's like the whole parasha is missing. It's completely absent. Obviously, deliberately. So there are a number of mahalchim. One famous mahalach is to say, which we won't focus on, but just to put it out there, one famous mahalach is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Klal Yisrael to think or to believe that their selection was somehow as a result of Avraham Avinu's tzidkus. Much as that is difficult to swallow, but the idea wasn't Avraham Avinu was so special and he went chasing after HaKadosh Baruch Hu and discovering him and spreading the good word, that as a result of that Hashem said, okay Avraham Avinu, fine, you're the man, I'm going to use you to build Klal Yisrael. He didn't want it to be a merit-based decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu to ultimately establish Klal Yisrael. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu to ultimately establish Klal Yisrael. It's not Tolui Bedova. It's not an Ahava HaToluya Bedova. As the Mishnah says, Berak Yovis, Na'ava Tolui Bedova. Sometimes if the Dover is missing, then the Na'ava is missing. With the Rebbeinu Shloilom, we are the Amma Nivcha, Shaboch HaBom, and we call HaAmi. Why? Because, we cannot, and therefore we do not try to make sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with his world, right? At the end of the day, Avraham Avinu is Nivchor because he's Nivchor, and we are the Amma Nivchor because we are B'nai Avraham Avinu. Zeuze. And that means, that has some sort of practical application, that means even a Yid that is distant, Chas V'Sholem, Loi Ma'astim, Loi Ga'atim L'chaloisim, Not V'Brisi Yotam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, never rescinds his relationship with any Yid, any member of Klal Yisrael, because his original decision to select Klal Yisrael was beyond reason, so therefore without reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu selects us anyway. Which in a way is very beautiful and requires more explanation. But I'm going to take a slightly different mahalach based on the Maharal.
Whose mahalach was that?
They attribute it to the Maharal. I heard it from Hagon Ramoshi Shapira, right? But I've not found it inside yet.
That does mean the whole of the Sfas Habes then. Because that Ayichus is to the Habes. And if they were chosen not because they were obvious, then all that's
supposed to be gone. This is one of the reasons that I said that the Peshat needs a lot more explanation and doesn't necessarily sit so comfortably. But on the other hand, it also gives us encouragement that no matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with Klal Yisrael is a bris olam, can never be broken. So it's la'oim la'oim yemot. In Maharal Zichet, Yosh state in Gevuras and Perek Gimel, a very, very yesoidus dikavot. Very, very, very important. Which is these words that the Rambam uses with regards to Avraham Avinu. And this is the idea of Veyeda. Veyeda sheyeshom Eloika echod. Veyeda shekol ha'om toim. Kim shehikir Veyeda hiskel hoshiv tshuvois. Avraham Avinu knew the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avraham Avinu knew that there was a Ribbono Shel Olam. And if he knew it, that means he did not believe it. Because Yediyah and Emunah are mutually exclusive concepts. What we know, we do not believe. And what we believe, we do not know. We do not use the expression to believe when we want to say that I know something. We only use the expression I believe something when I'm not certain. I believe, I heard. The Rambam specifically uses the words Yediyah time after time after time. When Avraham Avinu discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam, he wasn't walking around with something that he refers to, that we might sometimes call as Emunah, which I'll come back to in a minute. But time and again, V'yoda, V'yoda, V'yoda. And he made it known as well to others as well. Hikir V'yoda, Yoda V'hikir. Which implies that Avraham Avinu, who's known as the foundation of Emunah, the foundation of belief, the foundation of Hashem Echad, nonetheless is described as somebody not with Emunah, but with Yediyah. And this is a very, very important nukuda, because the truth is, if you open a Chumash, and we ask ourselves, what is demanded of us? What is expected of every Yid? We do not find that the Torah itself demands of us that we should believe. Nowhere in the Torah is it explicit as a command that we should believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, much as that might sound difficult. Nowhere, Vata Aminu. Bo shteit yo, v'yodata hayoyim ha'ashev o'yisrael levavecha. V'yodata im levavecha. We said this morning, just a few minutes ago, v'yodata hayoyim ha'ashev o'yisrael. What? What should I know? Ki Hashem hu ha'elokim? Du'u, we said this morning, Du'u ki Hashem hu Elokim, hu asanu, v'lo anachnu. We know it. There's this word from the English dictionary that has crept into even Torah lexicon that is called belief. But Klal Yisrael don't believe. Behem in b'Hashem. First of all, it's not a tzivui. I know. First of all, it's not a tzivui. I'm looking at the Torah. Vos vil de Ribbono Shel Olam from here? That I should believe or that I should know? In Rambam state, he knew. In Torah state, I must know.
How did he know?
Oh. Muzayin, that for us, Yediyah is paramount, and Yediyah is essential. And it's not enough to walk around with some sort of fuzzy, you know, foggy, unclear understanding, shrug of shoulders, don't know, sort of Yiddishkeit. In Torah steht, dass man darf wissen, in Rambam steht, eld gewist, and knowing is not believing. So then the question is, so where does Emunah come in? Everybody talks about Emunah, the mitzvah of Emunah, the Rambam, the Chorah, touches up on Oichi Hashem Elokecha in Sefer HaMitzvahs as the mitzvah of Emunah. But how can I believe something that I know? Elamai Zazoi. Perhaps, as with a number of other situations, perhaps just because Loshon HaKodesh is sometimes translated into English by Mr. Webster or Mr. Collins or Mr. Oxford, whoever it might be, it does not necessarily mean that the Hashkofa comes with as well. There's a concept that things get lost in translation. Other peoples can walk around and saying, we believe this and we believe that and we believe the other, right? Klal Yisrael doesn't have to resort or descend to such low levels. Let me, if I may, I wasn't intending to do this, relate to you a conversation I had with a fellow passenger on an aeroplane. Okay, all the best conversations happen in aeroplanes, and I was in the middle of the Bible Belt, as it's referred to, in America. I was flying to Atlanta, believe it or not, right? So you can imagine the plane was filled with Bibles and some people. So this person sitting across the aisle from me, I was learning. Fasten the Bible belt. Very good. Very good. Just don't thump it. Anyway, so I was doing my business. I had my Gemara open. So this fellow leans across and says, I'm not going to do the accent now, but he says, I see you're studying the Bible. He says, so you know, Jews, you know, are you ever going to wake up? That was that sort of conversation. Are you ever going to come around? You realize you're in serious trouble. All of this. So I couldn't resist. I decided to engage in conversation. I love these people. When I come home, my wife says, oh, they just left, you know, those chevras. I said, oh, where? I run after them. So I spent all of about 59 seconds dismantling this person's total belief. Right? I asked rapid fire, basic questions that we've been trained over many, many years that just shreds the entire system. I don't want to share now what they are. Maybe when we're offline, if you want some of the quick fire, I'll give them to you. After the share, I'll turn the machine off. I'll tell you, it's perhaps not politically correct. This goes out other places. You have to be careful. Easy. Boom, boom, boom. All right? He sits there and thinks. He says, and this is a great line. He says, that's the problem with you Jews. He says, you're all Einsteins. Okay? It's getting good. He says, it's all got to add up and make sense. 2 + 2 is always 4, isn't it, for you Jews? It's all got to click together with formulas and E=MC² and all this. You've got it all worked out. He says, you don't believe. We are the true believers. We have belief. We have faith. Because of those questions, and there are no answers to those questions, we can claim to be the protectors of faith and belief in this world. You people, it's all got to be scientific. So I said, okay, can I go back to my Gemara now? You know, fine. I don't have a problem with that. My Torah says, V'yadata hayayim. My Torah says, Tu'uki Hashem v'lekim. My Torah says, V'yadatim l'vamecha. You want to live in this sort of quasi, you know, parallel world? Gesunte, nicht von mir. You're right. You're right. We know. We often tell people, and trying to impress upon them, of the officially recognized 15,000 so-called religions that have come across the world since the beginning of time, recorded religions of any sort of nature, right? 14,999 of them all begin in one way. Some individuals, some are in a cave, some are up a mountain, having an epiphany while his students are sleeping on the mountaintop. Klal Yisrael, Maimir Har Sinai, Bifnei Am Ve'edo, in their millions. No one dares to repeat the story because you can't make it up. Mir Homin Yediyah, like any other Yediyah that we have. It's wrong to walk around and say, yeah, I believe, we believe what we believe. And they believe what they believe, and let people live. No? For a Yid to be a Ma'amin, he has to have Yediyah, and he has to know that there is a Baruch Shem, and he has to know that we are the Amanivcha, and he has to know that the Torah is given to us as the Amanivcha. Where does the Emunah come in? The Emunah comes in what happens next. The Emunah applies to the next phase. Okay, v'yadata hayoim. Very nice, ki Hashem u'lekim. Obel, v'hashev o'sel v'avecha. What does that mean? Of course we have the idea. But what does it mean to have that idea? How does it express itself? How does that translate into action? That is where Emunah starts to play a role. And we know this because of the Yesod of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon famously said, if a person wants to know or wants to understand any concept, any word, they need to find it somewhere in the Torah. Somewhere in Chamish Shichum Shel Torah, you need to find where that word expresses itself, and in that context you will find its meaning. It doesn't just apply to every word, it even applies to every letter. We have a whole shiur we do at the seed seminars on the Hebrew alphabet, what is an aleph, what is a base, and what is a gimel, to show them the godless of Michtav Elokim, and we explain that one of the many ways you can find out what an aleph is find out where the first time it appears at the beginning of a word in the Torah. So look, very simple, Elokim, aleph. So there, immediately you have the concept of Echad and Achdus and Yichud and all of those things. The first base is Bara, right? It's the concept of Binyan and Bria and Ben and Bias and all of those things. Not Bereshis, because the base of Bereshis is a conjunctive letter. It has to be the beginning of a root of the word. That's the rule according to the Gaon. But so when it comes to a word, the same rule applies. Where does Emunah, where does the word Emunah appear in the Torah? Where does it thus taka say Emunah? If the Torah at no point says, v'ta'aminu, that you must believe, where does Emunah appear in its pure form, in its undiluted form? Yes, v'hemin b'hashem echshveh lo tzedoka. And yes, it says, v'yaminu b'hashem moshe avdoi. Yes, it says, v'yamein ha'om. Or v'vu state the word Emunah. Only two places in the whole Torah. Maybe three, I think there's only two. Oh. Let's look at that pasuk for a minute. What's the context? No, it has to be the word undiluted. So what's the context over there? The context is the Mechemes HaMalek. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting on the mountaintop, Aaron V'chur. And it says, when his arms are up to Klal Yisrael, we're in ascendancy, and so too vice versa, right? When they saw that he was tiring, so they put the rock under Moshe Rabbeinu, and they supported his hands, by he yodev emunah ad boi ha-shemesh. And his hands were emunah until the sun set. Now, grammatically, for the grammarians in the room, it's very problematic. His hands were emunah until the sun set. What do you mean his hands were emunah? Yeah, so we can darshan that his hands inspired emunah. So they lifted up their hands and looked up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But what's the poshup pshat? What is Taka Posh Pshat Napa? What does the Pasuk actually mean before the Droshes? Vayihi Yodov Emunah. You know what the Taich is? It's not talking about that type of Emunah at all. All it means is that his hands did not falter. They stayed where they were. They were loyal to their position. And the word loyal here is key. Because from Dot Zetnam, that Taich Emunah is loyalty. The definition of Emunah is not so much faith, but faithfulness. To be faithful, in his case, to their position, and in our case, to our idea. People say, I'm not sure. Of course you know. Where did Emunah problems set in? In the next phase. In the ability to live a life that is congruent with the idea in the first place. And this is true for everybody. We always talk about this in a thousand places, actually. Lashon Hara. I know I mustn't speak Lashon Hara. But I don't know. I know I mustn't. So what's the problem? I'm not being loyal to that which I know. I know this is bad for me, but I still do it. So my breakdown is not in my idea. My breakdown is in my emunah. I'm not fearing God. It's dos vasich veis. One friend undermines another friend. Is the pshat that he doesn't know he has a friend, or he knows he has a friend, but he's being disloyal? The answer is he knows and he's being disloyal. That's where Munna breaks down. I know I have a Rebbeinu Shalom. I know it. When I don't listen, that's called being disloyal. I'm being an Oved Avodah Zorah on a certain level. As Rav Dessler writes about in the beginning of Kundras HaBechira, when I make the wrong choice, it's not because I don't know. Of course I know. The problem is, I'm not paying attention to what I know. He says it's all very well to hear about Avraham Avinu's philosophical debates. Fantastic! How he discovered the Rebbeinu and he anchored the idea in his own mind and in the minds of all the doors that will come after him. But that's the idea. The problem is that all of that is not enough. And it's not where the focus should be. The focus of Avraham Avinu as being the ultimate ma'amin is not so much in the fact that he arrived at the idea, but the fact that through Nisoyan after Nisoyan after Nisoyan, he was able to play out of all of those ideas and everything that he did. The Nisoyanus that begin in Parshas Lech Lecha, continue to this week's Parsha, and Vayera, and culminate at the end of this week's Parsha, are the fulfillment of his ideas. What's that called in Lashon HaKodesh? Emunah. Avraham Avinu is a ma'amin in Parshas Lech Lecha. He is a ma'amin in Parshas Vayera, because he is giving expression and he is giving a manifestation to the ideas that he discovered in between the parokim. In Maharal is Mavur that if the Torah would have given emphasis to the arguments and to the debates and to the idea, it could have stopped there. And the Torah is giving us a very powerful message that a Yid cannot just sit there in a bubble of philosophy and call themselves a ma'amin. They need to step out of that bubble and put it into practice and convert into Shmira Shabbos and convert Shmira Shabbos into Kedusha Shabbos. Dos is Amami. I'm already out of time. Your fault. But I just wanted to say one other thing. Again, coming back to the grammarians, I know there's at least one I can recognize in this room. But you know what's really interesting? That there is no Hebrew verb for belief. Oh, wait a second. In the neat po'al form. For those of you who remember your biblical Hebrew studies, you'll know that the Lashon HaKodesh is broken down into five basic binyonim. Po'al, piel, nifal, hifal, and hispo'al. Right? If I want to say I eat, I say ani oichel. If I want to say I feed, meaning I cause to eat, I say ani ma'achel. You've got to know the difference, otherwise you can end up saying you ate your cat. Right? You have to know which one you're trying to say. You don't want to say you ate your cat. You want to say you fed my cat. You've got no difference in oichel and ma'achel. In Emunah, I ought to say, I believe ani oimein. There's no such word. There's no such word as a verb. There's no active participle for the root of Emunah. There's not even a passive participle. I always say, ani ma'amin, ani ma'amin Emunah Shleim, ani ma'amin Emunah Shleim. It's a Mefurshah song. I don't know what the problem is here. Everybody knows the song. Ani ma'amin. Well, why is it always in the Hitfil? It's a good kasha, no? Ani ma'amin. You know what the answer is? Because ani ma'amin means that I concretize, I solidify, I make true that which I know. How? By what I do. Ani ma'amin be'emun or shalem or share, whatever it is. Shehabaris barach shmoy, this, that, the other, means that I take this idea and I commit my life to living by that idea. That's a ma'amin. And one last thing as well. If you open up the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you find the first mitzvah, Emunah. Second mitzvah, Emunah. Third mitzvah, Avas Hashem. How is one Oyev Hashem according to the Rambam? By spreading Emunah. By making other people believe. By going out there and being Korei B'Shem Hashem. As Avraham Avinu did then. And as we must do now. Which also means, Ani Ma'amin means somebody else should believe. I am Mafil, somebody else's Emunah. If I'm a real Ma'amin, I make myself commit and I make others commit. Mori decorate. Okay, I'm completely out of time. So, just coming back, we began saying Parshas Lech Lecha Bayero focuses on the Nisyonus, Achrei Nisyonus, and it seems to be that the foundation is missing. The answer is, it's not missing. Plenty of other places in the Torah where we're given the instruction clearly to contemplate and to think, and the Rambam writes in Hilchos Torah, the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Teshuva as well, Perek Yud, about the importance of how a person has to go away and think and connect to the Rebbeinu through his mind. But the parashas of Lech Lecha and Vayera are focusing on the Emunah of Avraham Avinu, the Omud Ho'emun and the Welt. That is not a philosophical exercise. That is a practical exercise. For me to be a ma'amin ben ma'amin and ma'amin ben ma'aminim, that means that we need to take a leaf out of not one of the 400 parokim of Avraham Avinu's Meseches Avodah Zarah, but a leaf out of Ash Lech Lecha Vayero by being omid ben Nisoyen. Hagos Nishkach.